From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming up later in the program, the Illinois Supreme Court heard arguments today over a controversial Illinois law that aims to eliminate cash bail for people charged with a crime. In about a half hour, we're planning to break down the arguments with a reporter covering the case and an expert in Illinois constitutional law. But first, municipal elections across the state are set for next month. Early voting and voting by mail are already underway in many places. School board seats are among the positions up for grabs. These are often sleepy elections, but with fights over COVID mandates and sex ed and history curricula in recent years, some of these races are becoming increasingly political. And this is happening across the country, including here in the 21st state. There are candidates with openly partisan positions for these ostensibly nonpartisan seats, from limiting teaching about systemic racism and black history to banning transgender students from using bathrooms that correspond with their identity. The effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on education, from mask policies to vaccine mandates to remote learning, those have also added fuel to the flames. The groups supporting those candidates say they're advocating for student-first principles, but there are experts who fear that focusing on these culture war issues takes attention away from the bigger problems in the world of education. They also worry that bringing partisan politics into school boards could leave them paralyzed by division. Governor J.B. Pritzker himself has gotten involved. Here he is in a recent interview with CBS's Face the Nation.
Well, what Republicans are trying to do is, of course, ban books in libraries. They're trying to keep our schools from teaching black history. They make up things about CRT in schools that just don't exist. And so they've got a lot of extreme right-wing candidates, frankly, on the crazy end of things that are running. And we just want to make sure that people know who they are and know not to vote for them.
We're going to spend the first part of our program today talking about what's driving candidates to run on these partisan platforms and what that could mean for the future of school boards in Illinois. Earlier this month, the Illinois Education Association put out results of its annual State of Education survey. 1 in 5 respondents said they'd heard about fighting at school boards in their areas. 1 in 5. And then 2/3 of the people who responded disapprove of fighting, yelling, and contention at school board meetings. And maybe I should have said only 2/3 of people disapprove of fighting at their school board meetings. To talk about those results and the bigger picture, we're joined now by IEA President Kathy Griffin. Kathy, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're also joined by 3 public radio reporters from across Illinois. Emily Hayes covers education for Illinois Public Media, our home station, which produces the 21st Show in Champaign-Urbana. Emily, welcome. We're glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ up in DeKalb. He's the host of that station's Teacher's Lounge radio program and podcast. Peter, welcome back to you as well.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Colin Schopp reports for WCBU in Peoria. Colin, thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Listeners, we also want to hear from you as ever, especially if you've seen or heard about these partisan politics coming into play in school board elections where you live in Illinois. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation. What do you think of this rise in heated discussion, sometimes verging into arguments or even fighting at school board meetings? 800-222-9455. 55 is the number to join our conversation today. That's 800-222-9455. So, Kathy, I want to start with you. Big picture, what has the environment been like in school boards across Illinois in the past few years?
Well, I think we have to be realistic. We have between 800 and 900 school districts throughout our state. The bad actors are what is making the public aware of some inappropriate behavior. You mentioned a couple of things about what our polling results focused on. However, I really think that we need to focus on what's best for our students. We want school board members that are, and they're all volunteers, to help make local decisions on what's best for their students. And that's what we want, because when we are meeting the needs of our students, they're going to be successful. When somebody comes to a school board meeting, and sometimes these are people from outside the local community, and they yell and they scream and they overtake a meeting run by community members of the school board because they're not listening. They are so, in my opinion, awful examples for our students. You know, it's okay to disagree, but we need to model for our children that you do so with respect and not hate. We need to really think about what we're doing. You can be passionate about something, and believe me, I bet all of your listeners and all of us here are passionate about different things, but we need to make sure that we respect other people's point of view while being able to articulate our point of view and do that in a respectful, kind way. Not what we're seeing at school board meetings, because that behavior then becomes the behavior that will be seen in our classrooms and in our other areas of our community. And that's just not good for our kids, and it certainly isn't good for our community.
I have some more tape I'd like to play. This is Connie Kane. She's running for school board in the Algonquin area of Illinois. She spoke Sunday night on radio station WIND-AM in Chicago about her reasons for running there.
I know for a fact that many people in the district are unhappy with the way the schools are being managed. There were a lot of complaints about CRT and the sex ed curriculum.
Okay, Kathy, does this exemplify the sort of things that you're seeing in school board races this cycle? And how is that playing out?
Well, I'll be honest with you. What was just shared is somebody's opinion. She wasn't being mean or throwing nasty comments. My first question, if I would be talking with her, would be to ask her what she believes CRT is. Mm. And I think that's a big question that a lot of people have a misunderstanding. Critical race theory is a theory that is taught at a postgraduate class. If someone's going into law, if someone's going into some kind of getting a degree that is a graduate study degree. In our pre-K-12 school system, we do not teach critical race theory. So this is a buzz acronym, so to speak, without understanding. And that's why in our polling, when we asked those who we were able to speak with about this, a majority of Illinoisans support teaching honest education, honest history. They support teaching about racism and slavery. And when I say this, it's because most people in our state and throughout our country believe that it's important for us to learn from our history so that we can move forward successfully and not repeat the mistakes of the past and yet build upon our successes. And when we're talking about real, when people hear racism and slavery, I want to give you a teacher's perspective. That would be teaching, making sure that our students at probably high school level understand that at one time in our country, we had redlining. I never learned about that when I was going to school. I also think it's important that we talk about the Navajo Code Talkers and their amazing success in World War II. But we also need to learn about the negative impact of Japanese internment camps. We also need to think about the negativity that has continued to happen from people who were brought over in the transatlantic slave trade.
Sure. And to be clear, Illinois law requires public schools teach one unit of Asian history, one unit of Black history. I do think a lot of people take your point that people say CRT, really they just mean Black history, or maybe even you could say history that makes white people feel uncomfortable about things that have happened in the past in this country. Let me take a moment to reintroduce our conversation today. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about this concerted effort among some on the right to put people on school boards across Illinois. And that follows a few years in which in some places in Illinois, there have been real outbreaks of fighting and yelling and demonstrations, sometimes aggressive, at school board meetings in different parts of the state. We're talking about that with Kathy Griffin, who is president of the Illinois Education Association, an organization, a union, basically, of teachers. Also, Emily Hayes, who covers education for Illinois Public Media. Colin Schopp with WCBU in Peoria. And I want to go now to Peter Medlin, WNIJ in DeKalb. Peter, what do we know about some of these partisan groups that are backing candidates for school boards and how they're backing those candidates?
Yeah, so like we kind of outlined at the top of the show, a lot of these organizations came about in 2020 and 2021, specifically aimed against, you know, or talking about school reopening plans and pushing back against mask mandates. And then that kind of evolved over the last couple of years to be conversations about, yeah, like we mentioned, you know, critical race theory or sex education standards or books or things like that. And so the way that a lot of these organizations support people is, you know, they are able to connect them with larger conservative organizations that are able to provide them training that they can do, similar like the Leadership Institute, which is one large national organization that trains conservative candidates. We've had in our listening area some folks with like Americans for Prosperity are able to come by and help some candidates, along with, you know, I'm sure help them get certain funding as well and get them donations.
And Colin, you actually talked with leaders of this group called the Student First Principals Coalition in Tazewell County near Peoria, which was founded late last year. What did they say about their motivations for getting people to run for school board seats?
Yeah, so it follows the outline that we've talked about here pretty closely. The founders are two board officers in the Tazewell County Republican Party. When I was talking with them, they told me that a lot of it sort of stemmed from the coronavirus and having children at home doing online learning. They said that at that point, the parents that they were friends with and involved with began to become more aware or began to see things that they didn't agree with or didn't like in the at-home remote learning programs. So this is really a group in its infancy that kind of sprung from this exact phenomenon we're talking about, where coronavirus led to at-home learning and therefore people being more tapped in or perhaps just having more time to have attention and see what was included in the curriculum.
Yeah, yeah. A lot more free time during the pandemic for a lot of people, and I think we're going to be living with the consequences of that for years to come in many ways. Emily Hayes, you talked to some of the school board candidates in Champaign, specifically about what they thought about teaching Black history and racism in schools. What did you hear from them?
So we get a range of responses. There's the expected responses from, you know, this school board has focused very heavily on addressing racism and the consequences of racism and trying to, you know, close opportunity gaps between student groups. So there's the group of candidates who say racism is very important. You have to learn about it. It's an ongoing thing. And then there are a few candidates who are more on the all history is important. They wouldn't say, you know, Black history isn't important, but they weren't very clear about, you know, why even talking about race in history matters. You know, one candidate said, it doesn't matter that George Washington is white, that's just important history. And, you know, George Washington owned slaves. So, you know, race is a very important part of his legacies. The other thing is, at a forum, I heard a question about, you know, what does Black Lives Matter in Champaign schools matter? You know, what does that mean to you? And one candidate said he doesn't support divisive movements. You know, Black Lives Matter is about highlighting racial injustices. That's a rhetoric and response to discomfort around Black Lives Matter. So that would be kind of the more extreme in Champaign.
Yeah. Although, of course, I imagine if someone is stewing in a certain information environment, like watching a lot of Fox News, you have a very different idea about what BLM is about. You know, Emily, there's at least one candidate in Decatur. Another issue we haven't talked as much about is sexuality. There's a candidate in Decatur who's talked about not wanting books talking about sexuality to be available for younger children. Can you clarify what that's about and what Illinois says about that? And we have about a minute before the break.
Yes. So the candidate said that he didn't want third graders reading about two men having sex together, two women having sex together, that that's not appropriate. That's not happening. There's no evidence for that. Sex ed starts in sixth grade, according to Illinois state. And the books available are really age appropriate books about like a guinea pig who uses they, them pronouns, nothing about sex.
Yeah. Or so-and-so, what was the famous one, has two daddies or something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me say, we need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation. We do want to hear from you if you are seeing contentious school board races in your area. Or, you know, maybe that's part of the story. We asked our texting group about this. We did not get a lot of responses. Part of me wonders if that's because of the decline of local newspapers across Illinois. Maybe these races just aren't getting that level of attention unless you are really, you know, in certain Facebook groups or something like that. Let us know. 800-222-9455 is the number to join our conversation today. We're talking about this with Emily Hayes of Illinois Public Media, Peter Medlin with WNIJ in DeKalb, Colin Schopp with Peoria Public Radio WCBU, and Kathy Griffin, president of the Illinois Education Association. 800-222-9455 to join us. This is the 21st show. More to come in a moment. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about school board races around Illinois that are getting more political than they typically do. This is in part because of a concerted effort among some right-leaning organizations that are trying to get more candidates on school boards. And all this follows a couple years of some increasingly contentious school board meetings, at least in some places, over everything from COVID mandates to the way human sexuality is taught and even just thought about in schools, as well as history curricula, particularly as it relates to our legacy of racism in America. We're talking about this with IEA President Kathy Griffin, also Emily Hayes, who covers education for Illinois Public Media in Champaign-Urbana, Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ, also the host of the Teachers Lounge radio show and podcast up there, and Colin Schopp, who is a reporter with WCBU in Peoria. Colin, I'm sorry, I think I said your name wrong before the break. My apologies for that. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation today. 800-222-9455. Kathy, I mentioned we asked people in our texting group about this. Randy in Peoria County wrote in to say, this whole movement brings a circus to a place where there is no real time or need for the show. When that happens, the circus folks are only interested in their own greatest show on earth. A lot of damage will be done to good programs and people and children in the name of keeping the circus going. Too bad. My advice would be to help the schools be what they are best at. This is teaching curious minds to think and trying to keep them safe in the meantime. So, Kathy, what do we know about what the broader public thinks of these pushes to, and you mentioned some of this earlier, but these pushes to ban books or, you know, to not teach about racism? Is there widespread support for these pushes?
I think there's widespread media coverage. Quite honestly, there are so many fake news and disinformation campaigns that are fueling the fears, and that's putting communities against one another. And I think there really needs to be a conversation about the difference between news and commentary. To the public, since we have 24-hour news cycles, a lot of that time is filled with commentary. However, people tune in and they think it's news. And I think we have to be really cognizant to identify when we are talking about our opinion and what are actual facts. And all of that misinformation is part of a huge problem. And I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I think that it's very important that people hear different sides of the story. But when somebody is listening to the same TV station 24/7 and all they're hearing is commentary, it is difficult for them to understand what the facts are. I think that's one of the things that we really need to focus on a little bit.
So we mentioned this is a sort of an organized campaign from the right. Peter, you've spoken with somebody in Oswego named Jennifer Stamp, who has two kids in public schools there. She is pushing back from the other side of things. She runs a group called Parents for Progress. Let's listen to some of what she said to you.
I'm tired of outside influences coming into our school district and trying to elect extremist school board candidates that promote national political agendas.
Yeah, okay, so I gather that's from like a protest. How are you seeing people sort of countering this push, especially if they're up against, you know, a group with national backing?
Well, I think that that is kind of what they're upset about. They feel like it's kind of not fair and that they can't compete when a slate of candidates has support from organizations that then have support from national organizations and are able to get, you know, solicit donations that way. And so, yeah, I mean, you see things like the protest that I went to in Oswego, where they are pushing back and protesting and really trying to say that, you know, these groups are trying to advance their political agenda in places that they don't live and where their children don't go to school.
And we have just a few minutes remaining in our conversation today, but I guess I wonder if any of you have noticed more interest generally in school board elections than in the past where you are. And Emily, maybe I'll start with you on that.
Definitely. A lot of these races have multiple candidates, you know, six candidates for three seats. I think there's been a lot of interest in my articles, more than sometimes you get on education articles. And
those dreaded stats. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's been a definite interest in Champaign. I've seen a lot.
Yeah. Colin, what about you? Is there a greater interest in these races in the Peoria area?
Yeah, it's difficult to measure the interest, but it's worth noting that this organization is the first of its kind in our area. As part of the story, I talked to a woman who was a superintendent in the 70s and 80s, and to her knowledge, she could not remember a single other sort of advocacy group like this targeting school boards in Central Illinois. So if that's an indicator, it's certainly one that people are trying to get more involved or drawing more attention towards school boards.
Yeah. Kathy, what's your perspective on this?
Well, I know that this is the first time that we have ever seen a national PAC, like the 1776 Project PAC, created to get involved in school board elections. And we're seeing national dark money groups take an interest. And for them, these national groups, it's about division through deception. It's misinformation. They are not there to provide the best education possible for our students, which what we want. And instead, they want to disrupt and dismantle public education at all levels. So we have to really make sure that we are cognizant of these outside monies, these national monies that are interrupting and causing chaos in our school district elections.
You know, it's interesting, Kathy Griffin. I think a lot of people think when they think of organizations like the IEA and the IFT, which represent teachers, they're often thinking about them in the context of employment, you know, benefits and wages and things like that. Is this new or, you know, to have to wage these curriculum fights as well for, I guess, what would you say, independence, the right, you know, the teachers to teach, you know, the best knowledge they have and as they see fit? Or how do you think about that?
It's confusing to me. I taught in a school district for 30 years. Our parents are our partners. We share with them what's going on. There isn't anything better for a child's education than to have parents and teachers working together to allow them to have success. If parents are helping their students with their studies, they know exactly what's going on. We have a new curriculum. We ask for parent input. Where this outside chatter is coming from is very confusing for you, for me, because we work with our parents. We work with our community members because that makes public education strong.
Peter, what about you? What are you hearing from teachers that you speak with for your show about how they are observing this and experiencing these fights at the school board about what's happening? I mean, they're professionals, right? I mean, they've gone to school for this. They've done continuing education, I imagine. How do they feel about this?
I think exactly what you described, that they're professionals. They went to school for this. But like Kathy just mentioned, that there are a lot of avenues to engage with parents, whether it be on, you know, curriculum nights or anything like that they normally do. And so, yeah, I hear from a lot of teachers that are kind of disappointed with how that has turned out. And I've even heard, you know, anecdotally from from teachers that, you know, they talk to other teachers that are in districts where these slate of candidates over, you know, get elected and then kind of don't know how to run the finances of the district as well. And so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out if that happens in other school districts over the next few years.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Christine calling on line four. I understand you're a school board member in the Meridian Community District. Christine, thanks for calling in.
Hi.
What are you seeing out there?
Well, I've been a school board member for almost 10 years. I was first appointed to fill a vacant seat, and then I ran twice and was elected, and I ran unopposed. So I've never had to put signs out or campaign or anything like this. And this year, we have three seats up for election in April. One of them, the person decided not to run again because he'd already ran for 12 years and his kids were out of school. Two of us were running again, and I put my petition in, and eight people were running for the three seats.
Wow.
And three of them, I believe, are backed by political groups who are providing them funding. They have campaign managers. This is something in our small community that I've not seen before. And so I have a kid in college, another one who's a senior and another who's a sophomore, and I have to pay college tuition. So I thought, I don't think I have $2,000 to $5,000 to run a campaign. So I withdrew my petition.
Oh, wow. So you're not going to run again because of these well-funded opponents.
Yeah, and it was just going to take a lot of time, money, and effort, which, you know, I have a full-time job and three kids and two to put through college, and I'm not even on social media, so I felt I was going to be at a big disadvantage, and, you know, I didn't feel like I could spend that amount of money when I had to put kids through college.
Yeah, wow. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Christine. Thanks for your service on the school board, at least until now. We appreciate both.
Thank you.
Kathy Griffin, I think probably last word to you. We're coming to the end of our time together. What's your response when you hear that from someone who has?
Well, yeah, you know, ahead. I want to thank Christine for serving for 10 years. Those are the kind of people that make a difference in our children's education. But when you have this dark money coming from outside a town like Meridian, that influence somebody who's doing good work to say, you know what, I can't match this dark money that's coming into my area. I want to do what's right for the kids, and those are the people we need to support. These outside dollars that are coming into our state that are trying to take over our local control is really concerning. So we need to support our local members who are engaged, and I want all of the people who are going to be voting in the school board elections to really do your homework, get to know the candidates, and make sure when you vote, you are voting for what's best for the students in that school.
Kathy Griffin is president of the IEA. We also spoke with Colin Shope of WCBU Public Radio in Peoria, Peter Medlin with WNIJ Public Radio, and the host of the Teachers Lounge podcast based in DeKalb in Northern Illinois, and Emily Hayes with Illinois Public Media. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.